Tonight, I just want to continue with this series of essentials to grow in the spiritual life. This is based on a Bible study that was prepared by Dr. John Dyer. And we have said that when a person receives Jesus into his or her heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and then we are supposed to grow. And we say that it's essential to have a life of praise, a life of prayer, a daily communion with God. It's important that we need to understand that they will be suffering in anguish, but hope all the way through. And then we learn that we are supposed to develop a life of joy. We can be joyful even when we feel unhappy. That was the last session. Now today is about the victorious life. And this Bible study is based on the book of Psalms. And tonight we are going to be reading, it's a long psalm, it says Psalm 18, and we have communion. So I hope that we will be able to read the psalm and maybe to learn some lessons from this psalm. Let me start reading a couple of verses before we start and pray. And I'm going to read from Psalm 18. I'm going to read the verses 48 and 49, and then we're going to pray. So let's read Psalm 18. Thank you, Magnus. He read the first three verses, and we are going to start reading Psalm 18, verses 48 and 49. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations. O Lord, I will sing praises to your name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to spend this half an hour or so in your presence. As we read, may your Holy Spirit lead us to receive what you want us to receive this evening. And as we gather around your table, may your presence be among us, Lord. So, Father, into your hands we place our time together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we read the psalm, you're going to realize that it's about conflict and conquest. Here, the psalm title provides a specific historical context. This psalm is also in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and probably refers to many of the difficulties David have. David has to deal with many, many difficult circumstances. He encountered opposition in the family. In youth, a hostile elder brother. We read that in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And the unhelpful first wife. His wife was unhelpful. You can read an account in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 20 to 21, 2 Samuel chapter 6. And later, ambitious sons. His sons wanted to kill him. They wanted to steal his throne. Now, later in life, we carry on reading his life, and he's mentioned that the neighboring countries, they wanted to destroy Israel, and also we found many temptations along his way. So here it's about conflict and conquest. But here we have the account that in this psalm, David affirms that the Lord is a rock, that he can put all of his trust in him. He is his rock. And now is an account of a victorious life. David dealt with all these circumstances, but he was able to be victorious. And so this is the context of this psalm. But there is something here that drew my attention when I have this Bible study about growing our spiritual life, is that we all have conflict. We all have circumstances in our lives. Maybe it's in your workplace, maybe it's with your health, maybe it's with your family. But as we are going to read this psalm, we are going to find seven dimensions of victory. Maybe you can be like David. We are dealing with circumstances, but there are seven dimensions here that will help us to stop and reflect. And that's my intention tonight, that we are supposed to live a victorious life. Now, the first thing that we read here is in the verses that Magnus helped us to read this evening, that God's name should be exalted. God's name must be exalted. David says, I love you, Lord, my strength. He used these expressions, which is almost passionate. He said, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You are my shield. He says, you are the one who sustains me, and I love you. I want to praise you. I want to express my love for you. Now here we read that loving him, loving God unreservedly is the first step to victory. Either you love the Lord or maybe you don't love him. Some of the songs we sang say, I am seeking for the giver, not the gift. That is why we come to church. At least I come to church, and sometimes I have been praying for something for years, and the Lord have not given me that. Maybe you have been praying. But you know, I have this picture of, I remember when my son, Brian, he saw me using my razor blade, and he was only 5. And I noticed that he would look at me, and I said, he's going to use it. So I have to put that away and be careful, you know, because I knew that he will use it. Now when I see him now using it, I said, Daddy, can I have one? Because now he said, I know he's ready to use it. Just see the metaphor. God sometimes, he doesn't give us things because we are not ready, but he loves us. And that's the thing with David. David says, I love you, Lord. And then in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we hear that the people of Israel are called to love the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5 said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We are supposed to love the Lord. When we love him, we are going to exalt his name. In the New Testament, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to John chapter 14. This is Jesus speaking about how we should love the Lord, how we should love him. And Jesus says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. So I can say that I love God, but how I demonstrate my love for God is keeping his commandments. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. We are to love the Lord. This is about our will, not just feeling. David have chosen to love the Lord, regardless his difficulties. Now, the first dimension of victory is that God's name should be exalted. So when I come to the church and maybe my life is not as I would like it to be, I still worship. And that is the most powerful worship. Because it's easy to come to church when everything is okay. Certainly in a day like this, we will prefer to be near the seaside. But sometimes we forget to worship the Lord. The first dimension of victory is loving God. Are you loving him with all your heart, with all your strength? The second dimension, very quickly, is God help solve. The psalmist seek God for help. Psalm 18, verse 6 says, In my distress I call to the Lord, I cry to my God for help from his temple. He heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ear. Here we see the psalmist. He says, well, I love him. I know I have to worship. I have to pray. So we need to look for help. We need to pray. In the verses 4 and 5, we see how he starts thinking, well, I'm going to call unto him, I'm going to cry unto him. 4 times we hear this word here about prayer. There is no substantial victory without regular prayer. The second dimension is prayer. I need to be aware that I'm going through this situation, pray. This is happening to me, pray. Because when we pray, we are saying, God, I cannot do it without you. David continued describing, and this is what one of the things I like here, is that if we carry on reading in Psalm 18, in the verses 7 to 15, he's described the greatness of God. Now, I want you to be aware that all the time when we are going through difficult times, we need to be aware that we have a great God. Do you believe that? That we have a great God. And this is what David expressed here in this psalm. He is about the attributes of God. Somebody says, I don't believe what you are saying sometimes when you are preaching, because where in the Bible says this? Well, there are some things in the Bible that the word is not there. Do you believe in the Trinity? Well, we do believe in the Trinity. The word Trinity is not there in the Bible. So you go and find that it's not there. Do you believe it? I believe it. Another word that is not in the Bible is the attributes of God. Do you believe in the attributes of God? I do believe. And that's what David is saying here. So when we say something, when we read the scriptures, sometimes there are things that are not written, but they are there all the way through. What are the attributes of God? He is self-existent. That's what David is saying here. God has no cause. He does not depend on anything for his continued existence. Another attribute of God, he is transcendent. God is entirely distinct from the universe. He is God. Another attribute of God, he is immanent and to transcendent. God is present with the world. He is God. Another attribute is immutable. He never changed. This morning we said that the word of God is the same yesterday, is the same today, and it will be tomorrow. Jonah wanted the word of God to change. No, God doesn't change. Sometimes we hear new theology that says, oh, everything goes and moves. God's word is the same yesterday, today, because one of his attributes is immutable. It's the same. He's eternal. He is omnipresent and omnipotent. He is everywhere, and he has all the... So David described here in a very beautiful language. God's manifestation of his presence is very fully described in verses 7 to 15. Let me read just a couple of verses. Verses 12 and 13, because of the time. They say, out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advance with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. That is David describing. He says his power is awesome. His thundering voice. Here was God's effective voice responding to David's pleading, reassuring an overwhelmed believer of divine help and unfailing support. You see, if I'm going through a very tough time, this dimension helps me say, well, God is great. God is coming to help me. Because if I don't have that assurance, then I will collapse. So first dimension is that God has to be exalted because we love him. The second is that we need to pray. We need to seek his face every day, every time. And the third one is that we rely on his power. Now, the fourth dimension described here in verses 16 to 19, let's go to Psalm 18, and I'm going to be talking about verses 16 to 19, is that it's a description of God's servant help, how God has helped David. And he says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. The verb drew me out is especially meaningful, has a lot of meaning here. And it's only used once in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, when it's described that Moses was saved from the waters, he drew me out. Moses, the name in Hebrew means to draw out. David has encountered a powerful enemy. They are coming after me. They want to kill me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. We are going through something difficult. We know that God is great. The next dimension is that He will help me. I don't know how. He will help me. He will help you. Oh, but I'm going through these dark times in my life. God will help you. That is what the psalmist is saying here. The fifth one is that God's word is obeyed. Verses 20 to 24 speaks about this. But in verse 19, he says, He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. He's saying, well, he's not saying that he is perfect, because we know in other psalms how he said that he has sinned. No, what he's saying, he relied on His love. He's delighted on me. And let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 26. I'm not going to read all that, but I'm going to read a couple of verses. Because this is David saying, well, He helped me because He loved me. That's what he's saying. Now, for us as a Christian, says in Romans chapter 3, says that, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the words of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sins. So when he's saying, well, we are not going to be declared righteous because we know all the law. No. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So what happened is that for us, we are declared righteous because we have faith in Jesus Christ, because He loves us, and because He does that, I am supposed to obey His word because I love Him. I want to respect Him. The Lord Jesus gave us the example. He said, Father, I don't want to do this, but He obeyed His Father and He went to the cross. So me and you as a Christians, we are supposed to receive this, but we, in response to His love, we obey His word. That's what David is saying. For all his undoubted faults, David has sought to honor and obey the word of God. So in verse 21, he said, For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All His laws are before me. I have not turned away from His decrees. If I love God, I will obey Him. That's what David is saying. He's delighted on me. In response to His love, I want to obey. Our primary response to God's ever, His word, is to acknowledge that His word have to be real in our lives. And our reward is that He will never leave us alone. The sixth dimension here is that God's power is received. Now we have this, he goes, we worship God, we pray to God, we honor His word, and now it says God's power is received. Faithful believers are totally dependent on God's faithfulness. David says in verse 25, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. Shall we read that verse together? I love you, Lord. I worship you, I pray to you, I wait on you, I obey your word, I am faithful, He will be faithful with me. Now, this military leader, this David, this general, goes and he said, I don't depend on my skills, I depend on you. And because I am faithful, you are going to be with me. Power is received. The next verse, verse 27 says, you save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. Jesus says, David gives the picture that if we really surrender and submit our will to God, power is received. In verse 28, You know, he said he dispels darkness, overcomes threatening obstacles, verse 29. He protects the vulnerable, verse 30. He provides unique resources, verse 31. He fortifies the weak, verse 32, so that they achieve the impossible. And equipped for conflict, verses 34 to 45. Look this testimony. Maybe of the great men of the Bible, they saw the power of God. And sometimes we don't have that power. You know why? Because we are not faithful. And that is what David says. This dimension of victory is that God's power is received when we submit to him. For us, as a Christians, who is the one who gives us power? The Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus has told them, said, wait for the Holy Spirit. They were obedient. They wait. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power is available for us when we understand the dimensions of victory. Power is received to the faithful. To the faithful, you show yourself. You say the humble. Sadly, sometimes we think we know more than God, and we are in trouble. Finally, God's praise is declared in the psalm here. David gratefully acknowledges that the undeserved achievement of great victories is because God has both the ability, the power, and the love to help him. And he says, you are my rock. The Lord lives. Praise to be to my rock. Thank you for this song this evening. The Lord liveth. And, you know, he's our rock. That's what David is saying here. Verse 49, therefore I will praise you, Lord among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. And say he shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forever. So we'll read these verses together. This is the song that we sang. Let's read together these verses.
The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. Therefore I will praise you, Lord. Among the nations, I will sing the praises of your name. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forever.
One of the greatest hymns of the church is one written by August Toplady. He was a pastor in England in 1763. He was traveling and then suddenly a furious storm settling on him. He managed to find a spot was just a shelf under a very large rock, but it provided him shelter for the evenings. As the storm raged about him, he wrote the song, Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. My friends, it's the same thing for us. God has plenty provision for us if we take shelter on him. The psalmist says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The same rock is the symbolism continuing the New Testament with reference to Christ. He is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock of offense to those who reject him, but the spiritual rock for those who obey him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. As I conclude this evening, before come to the Lord's table, I invite you to be aware that like David, we are going to face conflict. But be aware of these dimensions of victory. Let's praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's be aware that He's there to help you, to help me, because He has all the power to do it. Let's be aware that our duty is to surrender our will, to His word. And let us, every time we get closer to Him, we are going to receive power to deal with circumstances in our life. And our duty is to declare our praise to Him. Romans 9:33 says, as it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble. People sometimes, I don't believe that Jesus can do that. Well, it's a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in Him will never be put to shame. I will never be put to shame if I believe in Him. You will never be put to shame if you believe in Him. There are seven dimensions of victory. Is a victorious life, is the victorious life is real in our lives? As we come to the Lord's table, maybe there is something that we need to acknowledge to God so we can live this victorious life on Him. Let's come to the Lord in prayer before we come to the Lord's table. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table, we pray that you can help us to run to you, the rock. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be proud. Help us to be humble. And just to allow you to be our fortress, to be our hope, to be our rock. Father, we pray that you can help us to worship you under all circumstances. Help us to exalt your name. Help us to acknowledge you in our lives, knowing that you are powerful and you are always there for us. Help us to be humble and obey your word, knowing that when we do that, we have the power to deal with the circumstances that we face every day. And Father, help us to praise your name all the time and declare that you are our rock. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray that you could bless our time together as we gather around your table. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.